You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here with who I think has over the years become my usual partner in crime for these, the man with the headband. I should have put on a headband. Why didn't I put on a headband?
Because you got a nice bun going.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, thank you.
It's a little messy, I'll be honest.
Yeah, it's not spectacular right now. I shaved like my fucking sideburns off on accident. I thought I had the fucking high guard on, and I had like the one on there, and was just like, oh fuck. Anyway, it's Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, how's it going, dude?
What's up, man? Happy to be here as always.
Yeah, we're gonna have a great time tonight. We are going to be doing the week 3 preview. This will be part 1, so we will be going through 8 games, including the Thursday night game, going up through most, if not all, probably all of the early Sunday games. I'm not sure exactly how the time split breaks up this week. But part 2 will be coming later in the week. Just, again, inside baseball here. We're going to be recording both of these here on Wednesday night, so any information that you hear, it is as of Wednesday night that we are doing these. Please do not get on our asses about, you know, saying that LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams both might play, because at this point, this is what we know. If you guys haven't listened to the recap podcast, Shrek and Don did that. Don sounded like he wanted nothing more than to die for about the first 10 minutes of it. And then he perked up a little bit and got back into the swing of things. But definitely check that out. It was a lot of fun. Vinny, how would you describe Don's performance?
He sounded like fucking Eeyore, dude. It was just like very just like, oh, woe is me. I made a bad trade week 1. I'm like, all right, man, let's go.
No, he perked up as the podcast went on.
A bit.
Fucking Don. Yeah, he is in bad fucking shape in our league, dude. He's not doing great. I'm sure it'll get better, though. I'm not actually sure of that. Guys, before we do get into the games, though, do want to let you know that Let's Talk Fantasy Football is here courtesy of my bookie. So at the end of the hard week, God damn it, I fucked this up so bad. Vinny, at the end of a week, it's great to sit down and take some time off and watch some football. There's literally nothing better. Like these past two, even like the Saturdays with college, like the past two Saturdays and Sundays, I've just been sitting in my recliner and just like, ah, yes, like yeah, everything is right.
I've been a real bum. Like after doing like a lot of stuff, like every weekend for the summer, I'm just like not talking to people anymore and just like barricading myself in my house.
Yeah, I'm going to a college football game this Saturday, and I'm kind of like, man, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should just stay on the couch. But like, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go to the Stanford Oregon game, which should be fun.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, at the end of a hard week, guys, it's great to take some time off, watch some football. You get everything you want. You get game-winning touchdowns on 2-minute drives, wide receivers and running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like it. It's really the best thing in the world, and I think we all believe that. So, guys, do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win than they do. They've got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book. Vin, you are very used to doing some gambling, and how have you found my bookie?
Oh, fantastic. It's awesome. It's really the best way to do it. And like, I love just like doing the whole Sunday routine. Like you wake up and you just like check the news and everything, start setting your lineups, and then you just crush gambling. It's the best.
Just fucking throw down like $500 in the last half hour before kickoff. Just like, oh man, all right. But anyway, guys, don't forget that where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is absolutely the best in the business. It's where me and Vinny play. It's where you should be playing as well. All right, Vin, with that being said, let's get into this Thursday night game. We talked before this. This is a pretty easy one. It's Tennessee at Jacksonville. Tennessee's a 1.5-point favorite on the road. And the over-under here is 39 points. It's the two running backs, right? Like, that's it?
Yes. You play Derrick Henry. You play Leonard Fournette. They will both see 20-plus touches, like guaranteed. It's going to be rainy. Both quarterbacks suck in this situation. It's divisional. And that's really it. You just play the high volume running backs and they both should do really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Fournette's been less of sort of a splash play than Henry has been so far this year. But Fournette is still getting a lot of work in the run game. He had 6 targets, 4 catches and 40 yards in the, sorry, did I say the run game? I meant the pass game. Mm-hmm. He had 6 targets, 4 catches, 40 yards in the pass game this past week. So even though Fournette really hasn't gotten in the end zone, like Derrick Henry has, it's coming. But yeah, we expect a slow pace game. So it's pretty much just Fournette and Henry. In terms of the pass targets here, I guess if you really need to, like, you could go after Delaney.
Tight end is like super disgusting. So that's fine.
Yeah. And while DJ Chark has been playing well and he actually got 9 targets this past week, Tennessee's pass defense, whereas last year and sort of in years past, they've sort of had a very, very good run defense and an extremely bad pass defense. It appears their pass defense has shored up. Adoree Jackson's a second year guy. He's been better than his rookie year. And then Malcolm Butler seems like he's back to being an actual legitimate cornerback as opposed to whatever he was last year. And of course, Logan Ryan is very good in the slot. So nothing to really go after there. Jacksonville, we expect Jalen Ramsey to play in this game. Whether he gets traded after that is sort of anyone's guess. But yeah, just play the running backs. That's it.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's move to the Sunday games. And we're going to start with Denver at Green Bay. Green Bay is an 8-point favorite. The over-under here is 42.5. I guess starting on the Denver side of the ball, Denver's been a weird team, man. Like, I don't really have many takes on them at this point, other than they've kind of been throwing the ball a lot more than I thought they would. But do you have any opinions on Flacco or his receivers?
Flacco's been playing a lot better than I thought he was. He doesn't look as washed as I expected him to be. So there is, there's something to get out of there. And I think mainly it's just like Emmanuel Sanders. He's a volume play and a touchdown upside play. He's gone to him so many times. I think he's targeted him 20 times in the first 2 weeks here. So he's definitely my preferred play in this matchup, even though it's tough against the really like reinvigorated Green Bay Packers defense. But the other play I guess you could make is Cortland Sutton. He's also seeing like the next closest target share. And, again, he has like some touchdown upside, could make that play in the red zone, but really only, I think he'll drop that touchdown week one, but you can do worse probably. It's just, I didn't expect this sort of volume this early for this to happen for this offense.
Yeah. It's interesting, certainly. And I agree with you that Manny's really the guy to go after. As a side note, Manny's like a fucking, he has to be like an alien or like a cyborg or something, right? Because like, when else have you seen someone come off an Achilles tear and just be like totally fine?
I don't think it's ever happened. And he's looked great. Like in the preseason, I think it like clicked in my head. I'm like, what the fuck was that? Like he looked great and then has continued to look great throughout like the first 2 games here.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was actively fading him all offseason, I'm made to look like a fool, but I'm still going to – next time a 32-year-old tears his Achilles late in the season, like, I'm still probably going to fade him late in the season – or the next season, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Do you have any interest in either of the Denver running backs here? Green Bay's defense has been pretty studly the first 2 weeks. They're currently – these statistics are not necessarily gospel at any point or but particularly 2 weeks in. But Football Outsiders has Green Bay as the third best defense so far this year in DVOA. And let's see, Pro Football Focus also has them as the third best defense. So pretty fucking good. That being said, the running backs in Denver are both getting significant running and passing work. So do you have any interest here?
They're like, if you have to do it, sure. Because, you know, they both honestly see about 50%. It's very close. And like you said, they both get work in the run game and passing game. Like when they're out there, I feel like the playbook doesn't change. It doesn't, you know, it's not tailored to Lindsay or Freeman. And they both seem to be getting it done. So if you really have to, I feel like they're not the best plays, obviously, because of the matchup. But if you are forced into this play and you have to just plug in a running back, you can do worse than these two.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'd not be trying to do it. It's worth noting that Royce Freeman was more efficient than Philip Lindsay this past week. So I don't know if that means anything or whether it was just a 1 week thing. But yeah, both of them are okay plays, but not really someone you're actively trying to go after.
Also, I don't think either of them has made it into the end zone this season.
No, I think you're right. So yeah, we'll see if that changes week three against Green Bay. On the Green Bay side of the ball, you drafted Aaron Rodgers as a top quarterback. Are you looking for other options at this point?
I would be. You know, I think the Denver defense is still kind of hanging around there. They've sort of, you know, I don't know. Denver's just really, they've hung in every game. I don't know. They kind of, the Raiders game kind of got away from them, but they were in it towards the end. They're just putting up fights in every game, and I think their defense is still not elite, but, you know, at least like a very strong defense. And I think Aaron Rodgers is probably going to have another not great fantasy day. He'll be great otherwise, but I would just be looking to play someone else with like a higher ceiling.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. It's not – the matchup I think is okay. I'm kind of buying into the Denver defense not being great. Like I'm sure they'll get better as the season goes on and they get more used to Vic Fangio's system. Like the guy's a defensive genius. It has to work out at some point, but it really hasn't to this point. And I think particularly in the pass game, they might not be as good as we necessarily thought they would be. So I'm not trying to play. So like we got this question a lot last week, Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers? Let's put it up again this week. Are you playing Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers?
Probably Josh Allen.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think maybe the next guy who might be on waivers would be Jameis. Are you playing Jameis or Aaron Rodgers?
I'm less inclined to do that, but I think I still would do that.
Okay. I think that one's a little bit tougher of a call because – of the huge variance of outcomes for Jameis. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Allen has a more solid floor, but I agree with you that it's definitely a decision. So that's sort of where we both are on Aaron Rodgers. With his passing targets, we saw Devontae Adams get right back to where we thought he would this past week. He had 9 targets, 7 catches, 109 yards. He's still going to be a go here, I would assume.
Yeah, definitely.
And then do you have any preference for Allison and MVS or would you rather not be using either?
I'd rather not be using either. And I forget, it might've been you or Shrek I was talking to. I'm like, the MVS thing week one, I was like, that could flip right back to Allison after Allison got the bagel. And lo and behold, it did. Allison made a sick ass catch in the end zone, has a better game overall, less targets, but whatever. So I'm going to still kind of hold out and see. I need like a couple more weeks of these guys just to feel comfortable plugging them in.
Yeah, I think it, like you said, you need a couple more weeks. I think it might not really solidify throughout the year. Like
that's also a good point.
Yeah, I don't think either of them are worth starting right now. I'm not opposed to dropping them. Like I don't think you should, but like if there's someone that you're really like, I need to add this person, like I don't think either of them are must roster at this point.
That's, yeah, I mean, if, would you pick up, like, I know waivers probably went through, but, like, would you pick up a guy like Robinson who just had, like, a fucking monster game and drop one of these guys? Like, I would.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there you have it.
Terry McLaurin, guy like there. Guy
oh,
like
100%
that.
Terry McLaurin.
Like, abso-fucking-lutely you're dropping these guys. So, I think that pretty much explains where we view these guys. Like, they're in this offense with Aaron Rodgers, but kind of – getting a whatever from us. Like if you plug them in, you're hoping for a touchdown and that seems to be their upside. You're hoping for a touchdown and like, cause I don't really know what their target share is expected to be week to week. So you can't bank on shit.
Yeah. And I don't really know how much to expect in terms of volume for this offense. I think that's the biggest thing in terms of comparing a guy like DeMarcus Robinson with these ones is that Matt LaFleur, I think, wants to play slow and wants to run it a lot. And DeMarcus Robinson and Andy Reid aren't doing that. So they're like the opposite of that. So like, which offense do you want to have the peripheral pieces of? It's very obviously the offense that's just going to be chucking the ball around. Speaking of peripheral pieces, Jimmy Graham followed up his kind of unexpectedly solid week one with 2 targets, 0 catches. I was not on Graham really at any point. I'm still not.
Yeah, I would lay off that too. Didn't see the zero coming, but I feel like he could get away with, you know, he's a streamable tight end. I would not stream him this week.
Yeah, I mean, now we kind of know what his range of outcomes is. And I know, I think, you know, Minnesota has Anthony Harris at safety. I really don't know if he covers the tight ends primarily, but he's a very, very good safety. We know Minnesota has a pretty good secondary. Like, I don't really know who's good and who's bad yet in terms of tight end specific matchups, which makes me scared of Jimmy Graham a lot. So not something to really go after. In terms of the run game, we saw Aaron Jones really get the usage that we've been waiting for. Career high in carries with 23, 116 yards and a touchdown. Also saw 6 targets, 4 catches, 34 yards. And then fucking LaFleur comes out today and says he wants to even up the running back usage and get Jamal Williams more involved. It's like I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. It's what the fuck's going on there? Can you trust Aaron Jones, or is Matt LaFleur going to be an asshole about this?
I mean, he's going to be an asshole about it for sure. And this is what I was scared of and why I didn't really bang the drum for Aaron Jones, is because we know Aaron Jones is good. You know, we can do what he did last week. And it's just like, will Matt LaFleur let him? Will he have the volume? And that's going to be a problem all fucking year. So I think you're just going to keep rolling him out there and just kind of seeing what the fuck happens for the week, which sucks. But you've seen his ceiling. You've seen his – well, they were going up against the Bears week one, but that was sort of a flourish game for him. So it's going to be a tough ride, but I think the highs will be pretty sweet.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, in this matchup with Denver, where they're such a big favorite, I definitely think you should absolutely be rolling out Aaron Jones. You should not be considering sitting him unless you have extremely studly running backs to play in front of him. But yeah, I'm right there with you. We didn't pick the first game. Who do you want in Tennessee, Jacksonville?
Titans for sure.
I'm going to take the Jags because I love Gardner Minshew and the way that he looks. And then who do you want for Denver, Green Bay?
I'm going to go with the Packers here. They're home. They win this one.
Yeah, I'm not going anything out of left field there. Let's talk about Atlanta at Indianapolis. Indianapolis is a 2-point favorite. The over-under is 47. Atlanta got the win against Philadelphia, but like, I didn't find them particularly impressive in that game, and they definitely weren't impressive week one. What do you expect from Matt Ryan and crew this week?
I think they'll put up, you know, what pretty much what you expect. I think if you were rolling Matt Ryan, you continue to roll him. We've seen, you know, sort of the Colts defense will let up some points to, you know, quarterbacks here, but outside of like Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, like, I'm not crazy about anyone else. I feel like the offensive line has a ton of fucking problems. That being said, if I'm looking at the running game with like Devonta Freeman, I own him in almost every league, I think, and this is probably one of the things where I find out what the fuck I'm going to do with him for the rest of the season. So if he doesn't have a good game here against a soft, you know, Colts defense, who's let up, you know, a shitload of rushing yards and touchdowns and stuff, I don't know what's really in the bag for him this season, especially since Ito Smith has looked great. That dude's breaking off like 6+ yards per carry, and Freeman has looked like he needs to get into a groove. And I feel like this game is set up for him to do that. Will he do it? I'm not entirely sure, but being a plus matchup, I'm going to throw him out there probably one last time.
Okay. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I also have Devontae Freeman in one league, and I'm in the same exact boat. It's just like, all right, you're going to put up or I'm going to figure something else out here.
Yep.
Because it's a little bit tough to deal with. One thing a little interesting is the Colts defense has been pretty good at pressuring the quarterback. So I'm not sure how that's going to affect Matt Ryan this week. I don't think it's going to be like a huge, huge deal, but that's sort of been their strongest point so far this year. In terms of the rest of the guys, like, obviously, Julio, you're rolling out. Ridley, you're rolling out. Hoop Daddy's been a dude this year.
That's what he is. He is a dude. And you pretty much, if you have Hoop Daddy, you're playing Hoop Daddy week to week.
Yeah, tight end fucking sucks. You know, we just went through Jimmy Graham, you know, putting up 0 points. I mean, Austin Hooper in this second game, he had 6 targets, 4 catches, 34 yards, which isn't like, it isn't great. It isn't what you want, but any 6 targets is always what I'm looking for. If I can get a tight end who is averaging 6 targets, and Hooper had 9 in week 1 and 6 in week 2, if I can get a tight end who is averaging 6 targets and who has a somewhat reasonable expectation of a touchdown, I am willing to play that tight end. So Hooper's a guy who has to be started at this point in fantasy leagues.
Yeah, he's also, like, he's following Julio Jones and Ridley, who have been fucking fantastic. And, like, he's third option behind them. Like, he's, you know, the preferred go-to after those two. And that's seems to be working so far. So you could be streaming right now. And I feel like with Hooper, you can kind of maintain and just throw him in your lineup and not really worry about it too much.
Yeah, definitely. One thing with the Falcons that, you know, it doesn't affect your start sit decisions at all because you were going to play him either way. But Julio has 3 touchdowns this year. I know last year, like, that was like an incredibly frustrating thing. And it has been in past seasons as well, mostly with Sarkisian when he was the offensive coordinator there. But like, they've figured out how to use Julio in the red zone, it seems like, which is wildly comforting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he turned it on with, like, the touchdowns towards the end of last season, and I can't remember the stat exactly, but I think he has, like, 13 touchdowns in his last 15 games. So Julio Jones is definitely on the upswing on the tight end, like, overcorrection there. So he is getting fed, he's doing his thing, and, like, fucking enjoy it.
Yeah, 100%. Let's move to the Indy side of the ball. Brissett's kind of been a usable starter the past couple weeks. Do you want to use him in this matchup?
Going against the Falcons, it looks pretty juicy, but like the way the Colts have been playing, it's like run first and then Jacoby kind of, he's been insanely good in the red zone, and that's where mainly all his fantasy points have been coming from. So he's just been nailing touchdowns and getting it done when they get down there to score. So I'm a little concerned about like the volume. Like I think even I would consider Jameis just because Jameis's volume and upside is higher than Brissett, even though Brissett has been, you know, incredibly usable and really accurate and doing like a fantastic job, but I just feel like there are better ceiling plays out there, even though the matchup is very plus for him.
Yeah, I think I'm staying away from Brissett because a lot of his production has been through touchdowns. He had 3 of them last week, and that was like, I think he had 3 touchdowns and finished with like 15 or so fantasy points. So when 3 touchdowns gets you, you know, an amount of points in the teens, I don't think that's a great sign going forward. So I expect that to regress a little bit. Brissett's not really someone I'm looking to play unless I need to. That being said, T.Y. Hilton, he's also been a little touchdown dependent, but he's a guy you got to keep rolling out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's benefiting off of like the high touchdown percentage of Brissett so far. And I feel like that could come crashing down at any moment, but I know Trufant got banged up last week too. So we'll see what his health is. But if T.Y. can take advantage of that or get a mismatch, like, you know, he's just going to do his thing as he continues to roll.
Okay. Is there anyone else in the pass game that you want to play?
No, man. It's literally just T.Y. Everyone else has a low volume. The tight ends are not – you can't depend on shit. And no one has emerged as the second wide receiver option. Could that happen later on in the season? Perhaps. But, you know, again, they're – low passing volume right now. So until they get behind in a game or try to let Brissett loose a little bit more, you can't do that.
Yeah, 100%. Moving to the running backs, we know if you don't know this by now, you haven't been paying attention, but running backs who catch passes against the Falcons. Marlon Mack led the Colts running backs in targets last week. It was only three of them, but like he's involved in the pass game just as much as any other running back. He also led them in carries with 20 carries. He wasn't particularly productive, but I'm not too worried about that. And he's also, I think, like listed as questionable right now, but Marlon Mack, if he goes, he's like a must play, right?
Yeah, definitely. He's been like on fire as far as I'm concerned. And they're definitely a run first offense, and he has been, you know, kind of running away with it. Keep an eye on that. I think it was his calf. He did not practice today. Today is Wednesday. So if he logs like limited or full, you know, he's good to go. Should anything crazy happens, like Nyheim Hines becomes incredibly interesting, and I would be all about that shit, but things would appear that Mac is going to play, and you should play him as well.
So with Nyheim Hines, one thing that was interesting last week was that Jordan Wilkins was actually more involved, and he looked pretty good. He had one long run, but Jordan Wilkins was on the field for a larger percentage of snaps than Nyheim Hines was. I'm not so sure that Hines is like usable at all. I think he's a guy that, like, even with Mac having a little bit of an injury, I think Hines is a guy you can just kind of drop and not worry about it.
Are you saying like if someone has him right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that unless you, I don't know if you're like that concerned about Mac, but I feel like if Mac is out, like they'll cycle both these guys in, but I feel like Hines will still get the majority of the work. Like Wilkins did it on like six touches as opposed to like Hines being more involved in the offense, like being out there for longer.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, we'll sort of see how it goes, but I'm really hoping that Mac does go because
right.
I would like to play him this week. All right, who you got for this one?
Man, I'm just gonna go with the Falcons here.
All right, I'm gonna go with Indy. So we've split two out of three so far. That's good. Baltimore at Kansas City. Why couldn't this be the Monday night game instead of fucking Bears Redskins? What are we doing?
I don't know what they were expecting, but like I wish they could flex like this early in the season. Like,
yeah,
just like, hey man, we kind of fucked up. Let's switch this out. Like even switch it to like a 4 o'clock. Like it's
yeah, yeah. Like it. I mean, I'm not going to have this game because I just have the package that has red zone only. Like I don't have what is it? League pass. What does the NFL call it? Sunday ticket. There we go.
Yeah.
I'm thinking NBA, but like, I hope red zone is just on this game, like all the time, you know, like
if things go the way we think they're going to go. It should just constantly just be like, and here's another touchdown from the Baltimore Chiefs game. Like straight up the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about how we think they're going to go. Kansas City is a 6.5-point favorite at home. The over-under here is 55. And we'll start on the Baltimore side. Lamar Jackson has been nothing short of spectacular for the first 2 weeks of the season. It's been cupcake matchups both weeks. This matchup isn't much worse. I expect Lamar Jackson to continue just being a complete stud.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah, this is like, it's a cupcake matchup. Like, it is. And Mahomes is going to score regardless of whatever. Like, even if Lamar has like a subpar game, he's going to be on the field a lot and get it done in one way or another. I'm sort of expecting this game to be like Rams Chiefs last year. Like, it's going to be fucking nuts.
I hope so, man, because that was the best game I've ever seen in my entire life.
And like, there's not a game that's close. There are games that were like very good, but like nothing. We haven't seen a game like that ever.
No, I was standing up and pacing for the entire fourth quarter. Like, it was wild. So, yeah, hopefully this is somewhat similar. Let's talk about his pass catchers. I apologize because I was not terrible. Like, I did not prioritize picking up Hollywood Brown. I did not prioritize in any of the advice that I gave. And I was so wrong. He was still only in on 65% of snaps, which is up from, you know, his 14 or 12 snaps total or whatever from week one. But the guy is just getting so much volume. 13 targets, 8 catches, 86 yards. Hollywood Brown is a legit wide receiver too. Is that too much to say?
I was going to say low end one. The dude is fucking like, he's a psychopath. And like you said, like in the off season, I couldn't have said less about the guy. I was just like, hey, if you're like in the late rounds, he's going to be their one. And I don't really know what that means right now. Cause I don't really, I expect them to run a shitload. They still do that. But like, dude, Hollywood Brown kicks ass and he's probably going to put up 20 plus this game. Almost guaranteed. I'm very excited. I feel like he's just, if you own him, you have to get him in your lineup one way or another for like probably the rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'd go as far as rest of the season just because their matchups have been so favorable so far. And like, I'm not saying that I think he's going to be a bad play the rest of the season. I think there can be a middle ground here where we can say, yes.
No way, dude. You have to say it right now. Just like I did rest of the season, no matter what.
The hot takes on like either side of like the Ravens and like this whole thing is like insane. It's like everyone just being like, well, they played the Dolphins and the Cardinals, and everyone else just being like, they're the best team of all time. It's like, all right, well, like you can both have good points here. Like he's a must play this week, 100%. That's why I said wide receiver two. Because I think this week he's probably a wide receiver one, but I think rest of the season I think he's a wide receiver two.
Sure.
That being said, like you got to do it no matter what. You have to get him in your lineup. Like I don't care who you have ahead of him. You play him like he's a top 10 play this week.
If you have a piece of the pie, meaning like any Raven, any Chief, they need to be in your lineup this week. They just need to be.
I'm going to disagree on the Ravens side there because
let me clarify what I mean by that. I mean Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, and Hollywood Brown, and Mark Andrews.
Okay. Yes, correct.
There's no like, I'm not like, yeah, Miles Boyd can get him in there. Willie Sneed, plug that bitch in. Like, no, absolutely not.
Not everyone, your all-time favorite wide receiver, Seth Roberts, dude.
If Seth Roberts catches a touchdown, I should put some money on that, actually. My bookie, here I come. But that would be really funny if he did. But yeah, no. Everyone you've been playing, like, that has been functioning very well on the Ravens, keep it fucking rolling. They will continue to do what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the best way of putting it. For a little perspective here, Ingram last week, I think we saw the snap share sort of normalize in terms of the running backs. So Ingram was at 58%, Justice Hill at 20%, Gus Edwards at 20%, that, you know, after Gus Edwards had a lot of carries the week before. And Ingram even got a couple targets. So he had two targets, two catches, 30 yards. So Ingram looking like an every week starter at this point. The other two guys looking like stashes at best. You mentioned the other wide receivers, Sneed, Boykin, Seth Roberts. No need to really do anything there. And then at tight end, Mark Andrews, because I want to dive into this a little bit just because you might see some things that might get you off of him and don't buy into them. Nick Boyle has led the Ravens tight ends in snaps at 62%. He's only running a route on 30% of the snaps that he's in. Mark Andrews is on 53% of snaps, but is running a route on 69%. Nice of those snaps. Andrews last week, 9 targets, 8 catches, 112 yards, a touchdown. Another guy, I'm sorry that I did not hype him in the offseason. I was buying into the fact that he was going to be in a limited role. But the thing is here, there are two guys in this offense getting targets, and it's Andrews and it's Hollywood, and that's it. So
yeah,
it's going to work just fine.
Yeah, it's funny because every time I think of Mark Andrews when he has a good game, I'm just like, the stats would tell Walsh to sit this dude's ass like every week.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He only plays 56% of the time, but no, he's been fantastic, heavily targeted. So don't worry about snap share. He's just, when he's out there, he's getting the ball. Same thing with Hollywood Brown.
Yeah. Every time, like I think about him too, I think about the skinny professional wrestler Mark Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
And I get that song that he uses as the walkout, like stuck in my head, like the fucking catchy pop punk song. But anyway, that's a different story entirely. Let's go to the Kansas City side of the ball. The big stories this past week were really DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman. I don't have their exact stats in front of me, and I am sorry about that. But
DeMarcus Robinson went, I think, well over 100 for two touchdowns, and it was fucking wild. Put up a 30-point game. Mecole Hardman.
172.
Yes. I made a guess and said well over. I was right.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought it was like 140. I couldn't remember, but yeah. Fucking monstrous. Put up a 30-point fantasy game. Mecole Hardman had – I think he wound up with like a usable day, but like got that 175-yarder called back, which really fucking sucked.
Yeah, he ended up with four catches for 61 yards and a touchdown, which still good. Still
right,
good.
Exactly. Very usable. Sammy Watkins was odd man out, which was pretty wild after his, you know, crazy ass week one. But I feel like those things sort of happen when, you know, not everyone can cut two touchdowns every single week. But you're probably playing all three dudes, are you not?
Oh, 100%. And I'm here to say about Sammy Watkins, I'm going to pull out my megaphone and say, don't fucking worry about it.
Yeah.
13 no targets for Sammy Watkins. That is more than that is more than DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman combined. So six catches for 49 yards was literally like the lowest possible end of the range of outcomes that you could expect when you get 13 targets from Pat Mahomes. It's going to happen very rarely. Sammy Watkins will be just fine. Keep rolling him out there. And yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Sit pieces of this offense? You're rolling out Robinson. You're rolling out Hardman. You're obviously rolling out Kelsey. Let's talk about the running backs, because this is where it gets a little sketch. Damian Williams is hurt. We don't know if he's going to play this week. LeSean McCoy is apparently slightly less hurt, but we also don't know if he's going to play this week. Darwin Thompson is healthy, but we don't know what his role is going to look like if either or both of those guys actually do play. What do you do with the backfield?
I don't really know right now. If, you know, if LeSean McCoy is active, if Damian Williams is active, I'm playing either of them. Like I said, I'm going to try and get as many pieces of this game into my lineup as I can. Those two fit the mold for that. Darwin Thompson is where it gets like fucking weird. So even if you're picking him up or rostering him, the only way you're playing him is if one of these two is out. If both of them are out, instant plug and play, hands down. If one of them are out, I would kind of freak out about getting him in there, which would probably be the biggest problem that I could think of. But if they're active, I feel like being Williams or McCoy, they have to be in your lineup if they're active.
Okay. See, I'm going to disagree a little bit here. I think the only situation in which I want to play a Chiefs running back is if both Williams and McCoy are out, and that's me playing Thompson. Because I'm scared of, you know, re-injury type things. And also, like, neither of these guys have been terribly efficient the past couple weeks. You know, I mean, like, McCoy had the efficient running week one, but I don't know if I want to do it with the re-injury risk. It's also like, you know, we talk about how you want as many pieces of the Chiefs offense as possible. The Ravens defense is still good. Like, this is easily the worst matchup that the Chiefs have had. Well, they played the Jaguars and they fucked them up, but so maybe I'm...
They fuck up everybody, dude.
Yeah, but like, do you need to play a running back on the injury report who's a part-time running back against a good defense?
In this game, I think you do. I really think you do.
Okay. I'd be trying not to if I can, you know?
Who would you play? Let's say Damian Williams is active. Who would you play over him? I know that's a very broad question, but Marlon Mack or...
Oh, Marlon Mack, 1,000%.
Aaron Jones or...
Aaron Jones.
Jesus Christ.
I think, like, if Devin Singletary doesn't play, I'd play Frank Gore over Damian Williams.
Are you kidding me?
No.
In a game with sitting at, like, a very delicious 55 over-under, which is going to go well over.
Have you seen how bad the Bengals' run defense is?
I have, and we'll get to that. Frank Gore is a very delicious play in its own respect. But I can't – something in me is just, like, you got to get, like, dude – he just has to fucking fall into the end zone once and it's paid off. And
I might play Raheem Mostert over him.
This is stupid. I'll make like whatever bet you want that like any of those guys will have a worse week than Damian Williams if active.
You want to do a Raheem Mostert, Damian Williams fantasy point bet this week?
Give me that.
All right. Yeah, I'll do that straight up. Sweet. What do you want to put on it, a 12er or something?
Yeah, yeah. The usual.
Yeah, I feel like we never actually pay those off.
We don't. They're kind of like Disney bucks, just like throwing them all over.
At some point, we'll like go back. We'll have to pay someone to like listen to like or design a robot that like every time we mention bet or like 12er or something like that, that like it tallies all of it up, and at the end it'll be like Wall shows Vinny 77 beers or like whatever it is.
Half a keg, way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we're of differing opinions on that, but. KC backfield, definitely keep an eye on the news the rest of the week and make your decisions based off that. If you do have questions, feel free to hit us up as the week goes on. We will try and answer the best that we can. Do we have anything else on this game, Vin? I mean, we didn't mention Mahomes, but obvious.
Or Travis Kelce, but you guys already fucking know that.
Yeah, if you had questions about that, fucking find a new hobby. All right, I'm going to take Baltimore.
Oh, wow. I'm going to take the Chiefs.
So we're splitting on three out of the first four. Excellent.
Fair amount of splits this week.
Yeah, I like that. Vin, before we do the next four games, want to remind you guys, we are here courtesy of MyBookie. So if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, which, Vin, I know you are, make sure you try a parlay. How many parlays have you put down so far this year?
Several, hit on none, but it's only been 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of a parlay, right? You hit on one of them, and you
make all your money back. Like in
yeah, exactly. Shot. All right, so, I mean, yeah, you guys know how it works. If all your picks come through, you multiply your winnings. And guys, just remember, no matter how you bet, the NFL season is absolutely the best time of the year. Promo code, let's talk. I forgot how to talk for a second. Promo code, let's talk. That's LETSTALK. That gets you 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Make sure you're checking it out, guys. We'll try and tell you all of our great betting picks as the podcast goes on.
You know what I hit on Monday?
What was that?
Nick Chubb to score and Browns win, and also Odell to score and Browns win.
Oh, there you go. They let you you got correlated parlays down?
Oh no, I didn't parlay that. It was just like two separate bets.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yep.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break and then we'll be back with the next four games.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, home of the brutally honest fantasy advice you've always needed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with four more games for you before we let you go. Again, this is part one of the week three preview. If you haven't listened to the recap yet, make sure you go back and do that so you can hear Don be sad. Vin, let's get into your Cincinnati Bengals at the Buffalo Bills. Speaking of betting, if you had put your entire life savings on the over of the Bengals Niners game, you would have doubled your life savings. So, you know, take that advice as you will. Like I said, you should. But Vin, we got Buffalo a 6-point favorite here. The over-under is 44. Cincinnati looked really bad last week. Can we still trust them in fantasy?
What? Yeah, they were really bad. I think you can still trust them in fantasy, though. Like, Dalton's still putting up over 300. Tyler Boyd and John Ross, out of all crazy fucked up things, has been like really dependable, and they're both in the 20 target range for the first 2 weeks, and have looked, you know, Tyler Boyd is just a monster. He's getting less credit because John Ross has been going off, but these guys are fucking dependable. I mean, Tyler Boyd more so than John Ross. John Ross got it done last week with that, you know, garbage ass touchdown, but they've been the main passing game, and that's really all Dalton's had since the run game is complete trash and Mixon's a little banged up. Fully practiced, though, by the way. But, yeah, Tyler Boyd and John Ross, I think you can still play them here. I think Dalton has he's pretty good when they go to Buffalo statistically. Not that that means anything, just narrative. You know, Bills have a tough D, but I feel like fantasy-wise, these guys should be plugged in and played.
Yeah, I mean, they're passing the ball a ton. Zach Taylor clearly is willing to to get the ball moving and to throw it around a little bit. I mean, Dalton's been over 300 yards for two straight weeks. Yeah, you're completely right on Tyler Boyd. That guy is a
monster.
He's so good. He's just like,
and the catch, like if you watch this dude, the catches he makes are just like, it's like third and eight, and he'll catch it right at the yardstick, like make sure he gets the first down, and is making, like, he's extending his full body. And it's just like, I love Tyler Boyd. He's been great.
Yeah. He's really, really good. You said, like you said, Ross, most of it came on sort of a 66-yard touchdown late in the game. But these are both guys getting it done. I'm not trying to play Dalton in this game because it is a tough matchup against Buffalo. But I think going forward the rest of the season, he should absolutely be in streamer conversation in better matchups than this. You mentioned Joe Mixon is practicing fully. He did get five targets last week, so he's being used in the pass game. I think that's not a bad place to go back to, even though it hasn't really worked out the first 2 weeks.
Another thing to mention about Mixon, if you haven't been watching the full Bengals game, which, come on, guys, fucking, it's electrifying.
Electrifying.
He's been breaking off pretty decent runs, and they come back due to holding. Will that keep going throughout the season? Probably. But there is room, for improvement and hope. So there is a big Mixon breakout game coming. I don't know if it's this week. Probably not. But hold on to Mixon. I don't think it's going to be as bad a season as people are like freaking out about.
Yeah. And if you do see a Mixon owner freaking out, maybe try and buy low on him. You never know what you can get.
Yes, 100%. Still a workhorse, GOCing. You know, he's really only coming in if Mixon's banged up. So that's a huge buy low.
All right. The other guy we got to talk about is Tyler Eifert. He did score a touchdown this week, only 9 yards receiving, but his second week in a row with at least five targets. Are you buying into Eifert at all as a guy to use?
No, not yet. But I feel like towards middle of the season, maybe after the Bengals bye week, he's had enough decent games under his belt, maybe more snap share, that he could be considered a streamer after they get back, but from the bye. But it's a little too risky for now. He's just, they're taking their time, and I appreciate that because he is really good when he's out there.
Yeah, he's very, very good, and he is a fragile soul, unfortunately. One thing I did not look at was his actual snap share. I just looked at his targets, so I want to take a look at that now just to see. Still at 27%.
I was going to say, okay, it's definitely under like 40%.
Yeah, Uzomah still led them in tight end snap share, and Eifert actually played the same amount of snaps as Drew Sample. So despite the targets and stuff, not really something you can rely on there.
Yeah.
Okay. Buffalo side of the ball. Josh Allen balls the fuck out on the reg. I love him. I'm so upset. Last week in one league, it's like my other sort of big money league besides the one that we are in. I picked up Derek Carr over Josh Allen, and then I tried to pick him up today, and I wasn't able to, and I got Jameis instead. And the reason I'm upset is because I think Josh Allen is a fantasy starter the rest of the year. He's like, in week one, he played objectively bad and still got 17 fantasy points. And last week, he was good and he had 22 fantasy points. So Josh Allen, I think you play him, you know, until further notice.
Yeah, I was going to say he needs to be owned and pretty much started every single week. Like, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good for fantasy, is what I should be saying. You know, I think he had 251 passing yards. He got a touchdown out of it. He missed John Brown on a total bomb by a yard or two, which, you know, could have been a touchdown. And then he ran one into the end zone on like a designed quarterback sweep. So
sweet.
Yeah, like pretty fucking cool. He ran the ball seven times. This is what Josh Allen does.
I have a shitty story. I'm in my first auction league this year, and I'm like kind of fucked at quarterback already. So I put in a bid for $2 to get Josh Allen. And I was figuring some piece of shit would put in $1, think he's getting him. Some scumbag put in a $3 one.
Ah.
and got him. So I just got fucked. I should have put like $5, but
yeah. Yeah.
I'm learning. I'm learning.
Yeah, what can you do? You'll get there eventually. So I mean, Josh Allen, he's an absolute starter at this point. But in terms of his pass catchers, I think there's really only one that we need to consider, and it's John Brown. Do you have any conflicting takes on that? Or
no, I mean, the problem, I guess, for the past of John Brown has been like target share, and he's just been his preferred, Allen's like preferred target. So he has big play potential, and now he's getting targeted heavily. Like, there's nothing not to love here. As far as the other guys, like Cole Beasley could have blow up games or catch two touchdowns, just have 34 yards or his typical Cowboy blow ups, whatever. It's really John Brown is the only dude you want to play.
Yeah, Beasley, I don't know if he got hurt or anything like that, but he was only in on 49% of snaps this week. He did catch 4 balls for 82 yards. But John Brown, 8 targets, 7 catches, 72 yards this past week. That's after 10 targets the week before. And like I said, the only target that John Brown did not catch this past week was a 60-yard bomb that would have been a touchdown if Allen had hit him, because he was behind the defense all alone. To me, he's on the border. Like, he's on the border of wide receiver 1 and 2 for me, like the rest of the year.
I'm going to say, yeah, I think he's a low end one. Like, he really is. And like, the big play potential is really what does it for you.
Like, yeah, 100%.
It's going to happen this week too, like bar none. the Bengals are going to get the piss knocked out of them. Like 8 running plays in a row, and then just play action bomb John Brown. Like, no problem.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. I am definitely going to be playing him this week. In terms of the running backs, we got Devin Singletary, who was solid this past week, but he did get hurt. His status is up in the air going forward. And then Frank Gore had like 18 carries and a touchdown, and I think a decent amount of yardage, like 80-some-odd yards. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned it before. I think Frank Gore, if Devin Singletary doesn't go, like, is a good start.
Yeah, for sure. Like, the Bengals just – I say it every year, too. Their linebackers suck. They don't fix the problem. And it's just – they just get beat up in the run game all the time. If you watch the 49er game, it was just every Bengal running to the right, and then the play was going to the left. And it's just like, what are you guys even doing? I expect more of the same here. They're going to have a good game on the ground, like, no matter what happens.
Yeah, in Football Outsiders rankings, they are 31st in run defense. In Pro Football Focuses, they're 29th in run defense. So not a ton of differentiation there. Both seem to point towards a good day for the Bills on the ground. So keep an eye on Singletary's health. If Singletary does play, what's sort of your move there?
I would... If I have Singletary, I'd probably try to get him in there somehow. And then if he's limited in any capacity, which you got to figure he will be, do you risk Frank Gore like as a flex or RB2?
Yeah, I think they're both flex plays. Like, if Singletary plays, I think if Singletary doesn't play, I think Frank Gore is an RB2. And I think if he does, they're both flex options.
Yeah, that's very fair.
All right, who you got in this one?
I'm going to pick the Bengals in an upset.
I'm taking the Bills in not an upset.
The expected outcome. Gotcha.
Yeah, I know. Real out on a limb there. Speaking of expected outcomes, the Jets are at New England. New England is a 22.5 point favorite in a 43.5 over under game. Geez. So Luke Falk is going to be the expected starting quarterback here for the Jets.
That's it. Like, what else can you do, man? He got peppered with targets. He'll probably have a 20-point game just out of that alone. Does he get in the end zone? Probably not. Like, I don't know. The New England's defense has been great. It's just not working out for the Jets right now at all. Bell is pretty much the only play for me, just volume alone.
Yeah, Bell had 31 touches on Monday night. So.
Like, on total accident. Like, it just happened that way, and it's going to happen again.
Yeah, and I mean, It seemed like there was some chemistry between Falk and Robbie Anderson towards the end of the game, but I'm kind of skeptical as to whether that was like, oh, these two have a connection, or whether that was like the Browns are playing a prevent defense and like Robbie Anderson happens to be underneath the safety, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think you can really trust anything, particularly with New England being arguably the best defense in the league right now, and particularly in the pass game. That is the case. So it's Le'Veon, and if you're rolling out anyone else, then more power to you, but I will not be doing that.
Correct.
In this much of a blowout, who do you play on New England? Is it another Sony game? Sony did it this past week.
Yeah, I really like Sony Michel. Like, I feel like he'll have another good game here. He's probably my preferred start. Like, I was a little nervous about Brady last week just because I thought they were going to knock the shit out of the Dolphins. They did. And Brady did get it done. If you're rolling out Brady, yeah, of course. Could he have three touchdowns again? Definitely. Would I be banking on it? I mean, you can, but it's like, I don't know. You're probably playing Brady if you have him. But I think the preferred start and guaranteed workload is going to go to Sony Michel here.
Yeah, these Dolphins and now Jets games are going to fuck me all year because, like, I don't know what to think about anyone in them. Like, obviously people are going to go off and produce fantasy points, but I don't know where to project it. I really I don't know. It's something I'm going to need to work on in terms of, like, my own process in projecting these games. But
it's tough. It fucks with your head a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
last week at the Dolphins game, I was just like, they're just going to run it 30 times. And, like, you know, Brady was playing until the final seconds there. So I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, which, what's up with that, too?
I read it was a douchey Belichick move because they lost on the Miracle in Miami. So he's like, we played for 59 minutes. You're going to play for 60 this game. I'm just like, I like you, Bill, but that is so stupid.
Yeah. Like, no. Why don't you maybe sit your 42-year-old quarterback down? Yeah, with the running backs, I looked pretty deep at, like, their snaps and usage this past week. Sony was in on 49% of snaps, White 31%, and Burkhead 24%. Sony, no use in the passing game, but 21 carries, 85 yards, and a touchdown. And then we saw White with 3 for 10 and then 3 catches for 19 yards and a touchdown. Burkhead with 5 for 21, 2 catches for 47 yards. You know, if you played White, you kind of got bailed out by that touchdown, and that's definitely something that can happen. Sony's the preferred play there. That's pretty much all I got. Like, in the past game, Antonio Brown played 33% of snaps but had 8 targets compared to 5 for Josh Gordon and 4 for Julian Edelman.
Yeah, something tells me this is, like, going to be Antonio Brown's, like, second scrimmage, so you can probably roll him out there. I think they're going to probably pull the same bullshit and target him heavily and, you know, get him involved.
Yeah, I mean, they hardly had him in, but they were targeting him in the entire time that he was in.
Yeah, dude, these are preseason games for Brown. Like, they got him involved in Miami, they'll get him involved here, and then I think they're just going to just fucking rape and pillage for the rest of the season.
Okay.
Bad choice of words. Very bad choice.
Yeah. We regret that one a little bit, but
the second it came out of my mouth.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anyone else on the Patriots we need to talk about? You're playing Brady, right?
Yeah, like I said before. I mean, just roll them.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to take the Patriots.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. Detroit at Philadelphia. We got Philadelphia a 7-point favorite in this one. The over-under is 46.5. Fuck Matt Patricia, dude. Does he not know what he has in Kerryon Johnson? Does he not watch him play football?
This is what I was worried about. I put, like, Kerryon Johnson and Aaron Jones in the same basket. I'm just like, do not draft. You will have a bad time. And it's kind of leaning that way. Like, you know, Kerryon Johnson kind of got it done last week, but Patricia's doing everything he can to make him suck. Like, give him 18 touches a game. Like, you'll be fine, dude. Stop fucking around. They cut CJ Anderson for some reason. He was doing, like, totally okay. I don't know. They're just a poorly run team. I don't trust Patricia. I'm freaking out about Kerryon Johnson. The dude just needs volume. He's fucking great.
Yeah, I mean, 12 carries this past game. He had 3 targets, 2 catches, 47 yards, and a touchdown through the air. Like, the touchdown was, like, sick. Like, he's good. Sweet. If you just watch him play football, you're like, this guy's really good. And, like, it's Kerryon and Aaron Jones are in the same sort of situation. And I mean, like, Aaron Jones may have broken out of it. I don't know. But it's just like you watch them play and it's like, why? Why is Matt Breida too? Like you watch them play and you're like, this guy's sick. Why is he not getting 20 touches a game?
Kyle Shanahan is also a douche. Like it's just
yeah. Kyle Shanahan at least is like good. Like Matt Patricia, I just think is fucking bad. But anyway.
He's trying to be something he's not, which is I guess good.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea.
Who knows?
You know, you mentioned that they got rid of C.J. Anderson. I mean, Ty Johnson got in there a little bit. J.D. McKissick is still there, and they picked up Paul Perkins off waivers. Like,
good looks.
Yeah, totally sweet. Paul Perkins, 6th-round pick from, like, 3 years ago or whatever. Yeah, man, I don't know what to think of their run game. I know that they want to run the ball a lot. I think if you have Kerryon, you're still probably going to play him in this game.
Yeah, he's probably going to have a tough game. Like, I don't think he's going to do particularly well. They're heavy underdogs in an away game going into, like, the teeth of the Philly front. Like, it's going to be rough. Limited, you know, touches and opportunities. So, you are rolling him, yes. Could he break out with that sweet play that he had last week? Of course. Nothing to be guaranteed, though. And I would be nervous, really, for this game and kind of rest the season with him, but this is the kind of the bet you made, and you got to start him.
Yeah, I mean, Philly's lost two of their defensive tackles in the first 2 weeks in Malik Jackson and Timmy Jernigan. So we'll see if, you know, maybe that makes it an easier matchup, but I'm not really sure. In the passing game, you know, we saw Hockenson blow up week one and then get one catch for 7 yards week two. The only guy that I'm comfortable starting in this passing game week in and week out is Kenny Golladay, who seems legit.
Yeah, and I think he's going to have a great game here. Julio beat the shit out of the Eagles secondary. I feel like Kenny Golladay is going to do something similar, or at least he can. Marvin Jones is kind of like a desperation, like dart throw, probably more for daily fantasy. And then Danny Amendola, I'm not touching at all.
Yeah, 13 or 12 targets, I think it was, week one, and then one target week two. Like,
yeah, no catches, by the way, last week. So yeah. Nothing doing.
Any interest in Stafford in this matchup? The Eagles aren't a great pass defense.
So let me flip that and see if you can figure that out. Would you play Stafford or Winston?
Winston.
Stafford or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I'd play Trubisky over Stafford.
Okay, then.
I don't like the Lions. I don't trust Matt Patricia. This is definitely a blind spot and a bias for me. I don't like Matt Patricia. I think he's a bad coach.
He's a bad coach.
I don't trust him to do the right thing. And, you know, I don't trust him to get Stafford what he needs for my fantasy team. That could be bad in the long run. I think it's going to be good more often than it's bad.
Yeah. And like, I know we don't talk about defense, but their defensive line should be like one of the best in the league, and it's not. So I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, it's a bizarre situation. On the Philly side of the ball, we have a ton of injuries. Carson Wentz, to me, is still a start, particularly in a matchup this good. But yeah, I mean, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, and Dallas Goedert are all more likely to not play than they are to play, which means we could be looking at a, you know, a pass-catching core of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Mac Hollins, Nelson Agholor, and then Zach Ertz. To me, this means targets are just going to be fucking funneled to Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
But do you have any sort of opinions on these wide receivers or?
Man, if you want to throw in Nelson Agholor, I think you can. It's definitely going to be Wentz's like second go-to outside of Ertz. And I think he's going to have a good game. So if you can plug and play him, I mean, Jeffrey and Jackson are going to be out. So I think if you're having trouble at wide receiver or you're a league that starts 3 wide receivers, I would plug in Nelson Agholor.
Yeah, I like Aguilar this week. Last week, he ended up with 11 targets, 8 catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown. And he dropped what should have been like a 70-yard touchdown.
Yes.
Dude, so I lost like a lot of money in daily last week. I was like wrong about a lot of things. And I was playing the showdown slate, and I have Wentz and Aguilar. And Aguilar dropping that catch is like the difference between me making like $10 and me making like $100, you know? And like he drops that catch, and I was like, you son of a bitch. Like, this is, but like in my head, I was like, that's what you get when you play Nelson Aguilar, you know?
It's fair enough, man. But savvy play on your side. He did way better than, you know, obviously things went in his favor, but
yeah, I was real savvy to predict Alshon.
Yeah, Jeffrey like a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
I watched that whole game with Christopher, who is a fucking psychopath Eagles fan, and was just like every drive, he's just like, yo, fuck the Eagles, this is bullshit. Matt Ryan throws like his third pick in the red zone. He's just like, back in it, baby. I'm just like, I can't watch this with you right now.
Yeah, it was an interesting game, that's for sure. Do you have any interest in like Whiteside or Sega Whiteside or Hollins, like as like really deep plays?
Hollins is mega desperate, so no. Whiteside have not seen it, so I will not bet on it.
Okay. I think I might be looking more at our Sega Whiteside as sort of like a daily player, that sort of thing. I've got,
because he can catch a touchdown at any moment.
Yeah, he's known as like a contested catch guy. So I think, you know, he can be a red zone threat as well as a guy in between the 20s. Whereas Matt Collins, I think, is going to be more boom or bust. You would expect our Sega Whiteside to maybe get the Alshon role a little bit. So depending on his price and that sort of thing, possible play for me this week. I don't think you need to roll him out in season long leagues really at all. Running back wise, this is a pretty clear cut three-way committee. I'm like not really sure what to do with any of these guys, and I'm not playing any of them.
I agree. If anybody, I would probably play Miles Sanders. If
yes,
that's all I got, really.
Yeah. And it's worth noting, I think Miles Sanders could be a guy who ascends into the lead back role, like at some point during the year.
Not what they do. And that's kind of why I was fading this backfield, like during draft season, like wishful thinking, pretty much. So when, you know, you're looking to go outside of like the realm of possibilities for this backfield, Miles Sanders could be like fucking great. Not going to get the snaps. You're not going to get the opportunity. Could it emerge? Perhaps. Probably not.
Fair enough. Who you got in this one?
You know what? I'm taking the Eagles. Fuck it. They're
home. Thank you. I was going to say, I'm also taking the Eagles. Fuck Matt Patricia.
Yeah, I can't. Dolphins. Detroit sucks.
Yeah. Oakland at Minnesota. Not looking forward to this one very much.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I have like a mildly, I don't know if it's like a hot take, but like I think they might be able to get some pressure on Kirk Cousins and force some turnovers. This game is an eight point favorite for Minnesota. Over under is 43. On the Oakland side of the ball, you're not starting Derek Carr. I think really the guys that you are starting are Tyrell Williams and Darren Waller.
If Williams plays.
Is that an issue?
He has a hip pointer. So,
I thought that was Josh Jacobs.
No, Josh Jacobs has something else.
He also has a hip issue then. Fuck.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I just saw the Tyrell Williams thing because that's why he left the Chiefs game.
Okay. There you have it. If he doesn't go, then Darren Waller, I guess, you know,
big money
becomes really your only start. We should talk about Jacobs, though, because I think after week one, everyone was very high on him with the snap share that he got and the work that he got. In week two, I have my notes here. Where the hell are they? Josh Jacobs, only 46% of snaps, 12 carries for 99 yards, no targets. Jalen Richard in on 31%, and DeAndre Washington in on 23%. So clearly in games where Oakland is trailing, Josh Jacobs will not be getting the type of work that we want him to.
You kind of called that too when they were going into the Chiefs game.
Yeah, yeah, I did call that.
Sadly, but yeah. accurately, yes.
Yeah, and in a game where they're an 8-point underdog, which is a bigger underdog than they were last week, like, count me out. I don't want to play him at all.
I don't know about at all. Like,
he's talented as fuck. He might prove me wrong. He might break a run. They don't want to use him in the pass game, it doesn't seem like.
Very fair. It's like, I'm just thinking about people that drafted Josh Jacobs. Like, who the fuck is in any position that took this guy to start somebody else?
That's fair. Yeah.
You kind of got to do what you got to do.
If Devin Singletary doesn't go, I'm starting Frank Gore over Josh Jacobs.
What about Damian Williams or Josh Jacobs?
That is really tough.
Fuck you. No, it's not. It's Damian Williams, dude.
Okay. Then it's Damian Williams. I don't know what you want from me.
I was just trying to get back at you for not picking him once.
Raheem Mostert over Josh Jacobs.
Such trash.
I mean, it's tough to play him. You know, Oakland didn't look good. I have a lot of thoughts on Oakland in general as a team that this is not the right venue for, but I don't know if there's really anything else to be said there. They just traded for Trevor Davis. Hunter Renfrow got 8 targets and 4 catches for 30 yards. Ryan Grant fucking sucks, and hopefully they play Trevor Davis over him. Should we move on to Minnesota?
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
You play Dalvin Cook. That's it.
You're not digging Thielen or Diggs?
You know I'm low on them in general.
I know. I just, like, again, I don't think you think of the people that have them and, like, invest the draft capital.
Yes,
and
okay. You're playing Thielen and Diggs, I think.
I think, but, like, you are too. Are you expecting, like, I don't know. Diggs came out with a decent game. Thielen kind of laid an egg last week.
Diggs had 1 catch for 49 yards.
And he caught a touchdown.
Yeah, and I mean,
I said he had a usable game. That's a usable game.
Yeah, it is. he had like a touchdown called back on like a pass interference challenge, which
that
is like
took like total 20. Horseshit. That took 25 minutes. It felt like in my head, and like they came back to the game. They're just like, yeah, they just wiped the Diggs touchdown. I'm like, what? This rule sucks. Like, I hate that.
That rule definitely does suck.
It'll be gone.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But, true. I mean, Thielen last week, 8 targets, 5 catches, 75 yards. I shouldn't say you're, like, I shouldn't avoid them as much as I am. But, like, yeah, you're playing them. I think they both have low ceilings. I think their floors are both kind of variable. I don't have strong opinions on either of them.
You have very strong opinions on them. Both.
Okay, my opinions are that both of them have low ceilings, like the entire
and it's
year.
Very, very strong.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Sorry. Dalvin Cook, though, that motherfucker, crown. Motherfucker is going to run for a lot this week.
Yeah, crown his ass. Yeah. League leading rusher, for sure. Fuck, does he look good. Sign me up. I think he's going to probably be RB1 this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might be RB1 like this year in general, but
yeah, I think Don said that last podcast, or Shrek, one of those two. I think they made a great point. If we're handing out awards like week 2, which I'm not opposed to, like, holy shit, it's looking fantastic.
Yeah, the one thing I'm a little concerned about was, like, last week, like, he had a 75-yard touchdown. Like, that was the bulk of his production. But also, that was a tough matchup. The Packers' defense is good. Yeah. The Raiders' defense is not that good. So, should be a no-brainer here. They're an 8-point favorite at home. That's a good matchup for any running back, never mind it being Dalvin fucking Cook. So, yeah, all about it. Definitely roll it out there. Do we have anyone else in this game that we need to talk about?
I don't believe so.
All right, Vinny, let's wrap this one up. We'll be back for part 2 You'll probably get it a couple days later. Me and Vinny will be recording it in a couple minutes. That's good news and bad news for both you and us, as we both have several more beers to drink on this one. But yeah, we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days here, or in a day. I don't know. We'll talk to you guys when we fucking talk to you. For Vinny, for Let's Talk Fantasy Football, I am Walsh. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.